All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf Nun Beis 52. We're going to pick up from the beginning of the daf, the Mishnah. Welcome back to Alan Weisman. Baruch Haba, Mazel Tov on your grandson's bar mitzvah. Eretz Yisrael, it's wonderful to have you back. I wish we were joining you there, but it's good to see you. Well, at least we're together. So says the Mishnah, Yisomim Shesamchu Eitzel Balabais. So we'll say now, again, talking a little bit more. Now, just you should know, the theme of this Mishnah is still one of Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam. So says the Mishnah, so Yisomim Shesamchu Eitzel Balabais. If you have Yisomim who are Somim. Now, again, they're essentially reliant on a Balabas. Oh, so we'll say, so our Shir, thank you, Baruch Mishnah. Our Shir today is dedicated by Baruch Fischl and Sonia Kozlovsky and family, and Harry and Adrian Kozlovsky and family, in commemoration of the yard site of Baruch Fischl's and Harry's mother, Rose Kozlovsky, Rachel Bas Leib Fischl, Zichrona Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama has an aliyah, and the family in the chama. Yeshikoach. So says the Mishnah, Yisomim Shesamcho Eitzel Balabayis. So if you have Yisomim, ultimately you are reliant on a Balabayis. Look at Rashi. Shesamcho Balabayis. La'asos Alpiv. V'lona Smilin Apotropis. Lo Mavim Lo Mbeis. Then Afilochi Kapotropisu. So we'll say this person essentially is acting as, first line 52a. This person essentially is acting as an apotropis. He is acting as an executor. Just the only difference is he's not an officially appointed executor. So the Yisomim rely on him, but ultimately, again, he's not officially appointed. O Shemina Lahan Avin Apotropis, or the father actually appointed an Apotropis. Chayiv La'aser Perosehem. This individual is obligated to tithe the produce of the Yisomim before they go ahead and eat anything. And I'm about to say, the logic of this is that since he's responsible for them, so he's obligated to go ahead and tithe the produce. Apotropis sheminu av yisomim yishava. So we'll say the apotropis who was appointed by a father, he has to swear. Now, what are we talking about swearing over? Take a look at Rashi, second line, yishava, kishayigdlu hayisomim, yishava lahen, she'in lo biyado klum yishalahen. When the yisomim grow up, he has to swear that what? He has to swear that he does not have any of their property. That he didn't take any of their property. So however, we know, Beis Din lo yishava, but if the apotropos was appointed by Beis Din, he does not have to swear when the Yisomim grow up, because we will say the assumption over here, although it doesn't always have to be the case, that these Yisomim are minors. As such, there's a general concern, says the Mishnah, that we want to make sure that the apotropos did not inappropriately take or use anything from the estate that was not his. So when the Yisomim gets up, the apotropos needs to take a shvua to the Yisomim that he did not misappropriate any of the funds. But that's only if he's appointed by the father, not if he's appointed by the Beis Din. On the other hand, Abishol, Omer Abishol says, Chilif Adram, just the opposite. Namely, that if an apotropos is appointed by Beis Din, he has to take a shvua. But if he's appointed by the father, he need not take a shvua. Says the Gemara, Or Minhu. So we ask Akash. Remember again, the first ruling in the Mishnah was that if the Yisomim rely on an individual or an apotropis, that individual is obligated to go ahead and separate out tithes from the produce of the Yisomim. So it says, I'm going to ask Akasha. The Pasuk says, Atem, this is King Tarimu Gam Atem Trumas Hashem Mikom Asro Seichem. The Pasuk says, so shall you separate Gam Atem. Also you shall separate Trumas. Says, what does it mean, Gam Atem? Atem Velo Shutfim. It means that only you could separate tithes from your own produce. Your partner cannot, meaning if you have a partnership, so your partner owns some of the produce, you own some of the produce, your partner can't separate the tithes on your produce. So Atem Velo Shutfim, Atem below Arisim, your sharecroppers can't separate out your Trumas and Maestros. Atem below Apotropin, you have to separate out the Trumas and Maestros, not an Apotropis. Atem below Hatorim Eshenu Shalom. Atem means that a person can only tithe their own produce. So what's this? We have a Kasha. The Mishnah says the Apotropis could tithe the produce of the Yisomim, but yet the Gemara seems that the Braisa tells us that what? That one has to tithe their own produce, and Apotropis can't tithe the produce of someone else. To which the Gemara says, "Amar Chis Delo Kasha." It's not a contradiction. Kan la ha'achil, kan la ha'niach. Oh, we'll say it depends. Halacha lemaisa, if the Yisomim need to eat produce now, Afniti Podus. Now, the apotropos, or the balabas, who they are reliant on, is empowered to sever at Shumas and Maisrus. Why? Because Lamaisa, again, the Yisomim can't eat until the produce is tithed. So here they're providing an active service to the Yisomim. On the other hand, if, let's say, certain produce is going to be put in storage for long periods of time, in that case, we tell the apotropos, do not tithe the produce on behalf of the Yisomim, but rather, when the Yisomim get older and want to partake of this produce themselves, then what? Then they'll tithe it for themselves. So the Rav Tanya, but we learned, apotropin tarminu masrin la'ach yovala la'niach. So we'll say, I'm sorry, Vatanya over here is not a kasha, Vatanya over here is a support. And furthermore, we have a brisa that supports this, that the apotropin, an apotropis tarmin umasrin lahaachir v'lo laniach. The apotropis has the ability to take tithes from the produce of the Yisomim in order to enable them to eat now, but does not have the right to take tithes from the produce for what? For produce that's going to be stored for later use. Meaning if it's going to be stored for later use anyway, just let the Yisomim tithe it later on when they're actively going to use it. Umochrin lahem, now the price that goes on, it's actually quite interesting. Nun beis amad aleph 52a, about six lines up from before it gets wide. Umochrin lahem behema avadim ushvachos, Batim sados ukramim lahachil avalol lahaniach. Furthermore, again, the Braisa says that the apotropos has the ability to sell off property of the Yisomim. For example, he has the ability to sell animals, avodim, slaves, female slaves, batim, homes, sados, fields, kramim, vineyards, lahachil. If, let's say, the estate doesn't have any money to actively support the Yisomim, the apotropos is empowered to sell off property in order to generate funds to support the Yisomim. Avalo lahaniach, but the apotropos is not empowered to sell off property in order to what? In order to put money away for the Yisomim. Umochr lahan peros, yenos, shmanim usolosos. Similarly, the apotropos has the ability to sell wine, oil, flour, in order to go ahead and sustain the Yisomim, but not to put money away for the Yisomim. V'osin lahem lulav, v'arava, sukkah, v'tzitzis, v'chol davar sheish lo kitzva. Furthermore, again, the apotropos is permitted to sell off property in order to allow the Yisomim to fulfill mitzvos, like lulav, arava, sukkah, tzitzis, the chol davar sheish lo kitzva. And you can go ahead and sell off property in order to generate funds to do any to perform mitzvah, as long as what? As long as the mitzvah has a defined quantity. But so what we're going to see is we're okay with Yisomim selling off property when there is a need, as long as that need is quantifiable. If the need is not quantifiable, we don't want the apotropos starting to sell off property. I'm sorry? It's all part of the same braisa. Meaning the braisa is talking about the rights of an apotropos. So it started off by saying an apotropos has the ability to tithe produce that the Yisomim need to eat now, but doesn't have the ability to tithe produce that the Yisomim are going to put away for later on. Oh, so now the braisa is talking about all the rights that an apotropos has over the estate of the Yisomim. So the Gemara says, the braisa goes on, V'lochin lohem sefer Torah, tefillin o mezuzos, v'chol davar sheish lo kitzva. Well, so this is really very interesting because what the braisa essentially is outlining is the rights of the executor of an estate. This is really what's happening over. The apotropos is in charge of an estate that really is being run for the benefit of Yisomim, which again, doesn't have to be, but can often refer to minors. So it's interesting how the halacha tries on one end to give the apotropos the power to support them and take care of them, while at the same time being exceptionally vigilant to maintain the financial interests of the children. So similarly again, the apotropos could sell off property to purchase for them a sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzos, and anything that has a defined amount, lasuye megillah, to include a megillah, ve'in poskin alein tzedakah. I will say this is amazing. The apotropos has no rights to give tzedakah from the estate of the Yisomim. So he can't make a pledge on their behalf. Ve'in poldin alein es ha-shvuyin. He also can't contribute to Pidyon Shvuyin from the redemption of captives. from the estate of the Yisomim, v'lo kol dover she'en lo kitzva. Because it will say, remember, and he also can't pledge anything that doesn't have a defined amount. Remember, tzedakah is something that doesn't have a kitzva. I will say, the truth is, tzedakah does have a defined amount. I mean, you're not supposed to give away more than, you know, 20%. 20% of your net worth. But again, I'm sorry? Maaser k'sofim is defined. But again, that's maaser. Tzedakah has no limit. Tzedakah, you keep giving and giving and giving. The ceiling is your 20%. But again, the idea is it's still called for our purposes. So therefore, again, you can't, the apotropos doesn't have the right to give tzedakah from the estate of the Yisomim. Pidyon shvuyim, redemption of captives, is another thing. Again, we'll say, now we saw that totally true either, meaning there is a limit to how much you can spend on pidyon shvuyim. The idea is that you have to help every single time there's a din of pidyon shvuyim. So these are things that do not have defined amounts, and therefore, again, the apotropos doesn't have the right to contribute from the estate of the Yisomim. So the Gemara goes weiter. La'suye tanchumi avelim. This also comes to include that the apotropos cannot contribute from the estate of the Yisomim for the purpose of nichum avelim, for the purpose of taking care of mourners. Ve'ein apotropin rashan ladun lachov v'lezakos b'nechse Yisomim. But this is actually very interesting as well. The apotropos doesn't have the right to go ahead and enter into litigation on behalf of the property of the Yisomim, whether that's to the benefit or to the detriment of the Yisomim. So the Gemara says, Lazako Samailo. I don't say, why doesn't the apotropos have the right to enter into litigation on behalf of the Yisomim if it's to benefit the Yisomim? Rather, the Gemara says, Ela Lachov Amanas Liskos Pnechse Yisomim. Rather, what it means is that if the apotropos went ahead and got into litigation with the intention of benefiting the Yisomim, but it turns out that judgment went against the Yisomim, the Rebbe says a fascinating halacha, which is the judgment does not stand. In other words, judgment against the property of the Yisomim is not binding in a legal sense. I'm going to say this is a much more complicated topic that we're going to do with justice today. But the idea that the halacha says is, so I'll say this is actually quite interesting, because what it has to do over here with is, what's the job of an apotropos? See, the job of an apotropos is not to grow the estate. The job of the apotropos is to preserve it, which means, by the way, interestingly enough, that the job of the apotropos is to be as conservative as, so this lowercase c, to be as conservative as possible, with the estate. That's why, again, it could be somebody comes to me and says, well, see, you should just know, by the way, this is a fascinating discussion in contemporary halacha with investment strategies for tzedakas. This is a very big discussion about how aggressive tzedakas are permitted to be with how they invest their money. Because you could have a situation that has a huge payoff for a tzedakah, but there's also an element of risk. What amount of risk is acceptable for tzedakah organizations? What the Gemara is clearly telling me over here, apotropos, you need to maintain as much as possible. So, okay, there's a litigation. We don't want you engaging in litigation. Preserve the estate, and even if it means that as a result, the Yisomim may end up losing a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there. Your job is preservation. Again, we'll say this is a much more involved sugi that we'll actually see in Bava Metzia and Bava Kama. But again, right now, as Ari mentioned, it's not really our primary topic. We only got into it tangentially because of Trumas and Maestros. Ve'ein, apotropin rasha and limkar berachok. We'll say similarly again, let's say the Yisomim have a field that's far away. So the apotropos sees an opportunity to sell the field that's far and to purchase another field that's closer. He doesn't have that right. He doesn't have that right. Right? Rashan Limkar, Rachok Vilgobakarov, Bera'a Vilgobayafa. Let's say they have a field of inferior quality. He sees the opportunity to go ahead and purchase a field of superior quality. He doesn't have the right to do that. My Taima, the Dilma Mishtatfin. I'm going to say this is interesting. Why can't he do it? Because it could be that when he purchases the field of higher quality, maybe it'll get wind damaged. And we'll say, aye, maybe the inferior field will get wind damaged also. But the Gemara is saying is status quo. We'll say, you know, in general, in Judaism, we never subscribe to status quo. Never, ever. The one exception may be the apotropos. Right here, we want him to preserve status quo as much as possible. And even if there's something that we look at and we say, wow, that seems to be objectively beneficial, status quo. Ve'in apotropin rashan limkar sados v'likach avodim. Simply, an apotropos doesn't have the right to sell fields and to purchase avodim. So we'll say here's the exception. The exception is, the Gemara's perspective always is that there is nothing more valuable than real estate. Real estate. So therefore, the only thing the apotropos can do is he has the ability to sell off slaves and buy land. I will say, why slaves? Meaning, what? But it doesn't. It's not. It's only slaves. Why? Because remember, avadim hukshu l'karkos. Remember, an eved on many levels is considered to be land. Therefore, the concept of selling avadim for land is, in the eyes of halacha, seems to be a little bit of like an equal type of swap. Therefore, we permit you to go ahead and sell off avadim for land because, again, that's objectively beneficial. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Af Lo Limkar Avadim Likach Sodos My Taima Dilma Lo Mishafion. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, you shouldn't go ahead and even sell off avadim to purchase fields. Why? Dilma Lo Mishafion Rabosai means maybe the matter will not be settled. Rashi says, Dilma Lo Mishafion Lo Yuhu Mishukatos Etzlo Shema Yitzalav Irur. Supposed to say the concern that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, maybe you're going to buy land, and it turns out that what? Someone else has a lien or a claim against that land. So I will say again, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, look, if until now, we've gone with the approach of status quo, just maintain that line of reasoning. We know that land is king, real estate is the best investment, but at the end of the day, lemaisa, again, status quo. Ve'ein apotropin rashan lahotzi avadim lecherus. Similarly, an apotropos doesn't have the right to go ahead and emancipate slaves. Now, we'll say, now the idea over here, if you look at Rashi, lahotzi lecherus, afilo ini yisum nifsadim, sha'avadim ba'an liftos atzam v'kes, shosan l'anacherim, al-menashe in the yisum rishot bo, afilo achi in rashan shar in gufo karen le'an shachar. So we'll say, this is a matter case where, let's say, the eved is worth $1,000. And the eved shows up to the apotropos and says, here, I want to buy myself out of servitude. I'm giving you $1,000. So we'll say the estate loses nothing from that. So nevertheless, the apotropos is not allowed to do that. Why? Simply because he's not empowered to do that. He does not own. Who's the only person who can free the slave? The one who owns the slave. The Yisomim are the owners, not the apotropos. And if the apotropos does not have the right to go ahead and free the slave, but what can the apotropos do? The apotropos can sell the avodim to someone else, and the avodim and then other for let's say the value of the eved, and then again the apotropos, and then that second owner has the ability to emancipate him. So we'll say, so again, remember, this is only in the certain circumstances. Look at Rashi says, remember, the only time you could sell avadim is when the yisomim, let's say, need food. Remember, so when are you entitled to go out and sell off avadim? Only when the yisomim need food. And then, under those circumstances, you can also create a situation where the slave could be emancipated. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Omer Ani, I say, Afu no sein de me'atzmo, v'yotze mipni shehi kemochra lo. So Rebbe says, by the way, I just think in the case of Avadin, the apotropos can go ahead and accept the buyout of the Eved. Why? Because the truth is, accepting the buyout of the Eved is essentially selling the Eved to himself. And the same way the apotropos has the ability to sell the Eved to another party, if the estate needs the money to provide for the Yisomim, so too again, the apotropos has the ability to sell the Eved to himself, if the estate needs the money as well. And the Braisa ends, well, Nazan, V'tzarech lachshov iman bachrona. And at the end, Rabbi Osei, at the end, Halacha lemaisa, Rashi says, Bachrona, and we'll say when the Yisomim grow up, the apotropos has to settle up with them. And what does it mean to settle up with them? It means that he has to take an oath, he has to swear that he did not misappropriate any property from the estate. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Eino tzarech. Halacha lemaisa, again, the apotropos need not take a shvuah. And I will say, we'll discuss the nature of that machlokas in just a little bit. Furthermore, ein osin apotropin, noshim v'avadim uketanim. We'll say, you cannot appoint as an apotropos a woman, a slave, or a katan. Now, what's the logic over here? Look at Rashi. Noshim, ein darkon lotzeis v'lo v'litruach. So we'll say, remember, the apotropos is an individual who needs to actively advocate on behalf of the needs of the estate. So the Gemara is reflecting a societal norm that it would not have been the derech of a woman to have such a public position that requires her to interact with so many. Et nashim avadim, a slave can't go ahead and be an apotropos. Why? They're not believed. The right slaves don't have credibility. And of course, Kitanim Rashi says, Einam b'nei das. They don't possess the requisite intellect. V'im minon avi yisomim. This is actually interesting. But if the father appointed one of these people as the apotropos, then what? Harushis biyado. Suppose that this is interesting. At the end of the day, when we say that we don't appoint women avodim and kitanim, that's if Beis Din is appointing an apotropos. If this father decided to appoint someone, he decided to appoint his wife, he decided to appoint his sister, he decided to appoint his trusted servant, then lamaisa, at the end of the day, that designation stands. So when Beis Din appoints, we try not to appoint these individuals. But if the father does, he can appoint anyone who he wants.
All the laws of Mikvah, right, I'll refer to whether or not it's court appointed
Yes. Yes. Who apotropos? This apotropos, David Bishvavuse Darbi Meir. Supposed to the Gemara is going to tell a story. There was an apotropos that lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Meir. Havakamizabin Ara, Vizavin Avde. He was selling off land and purchasing Avadim. For those Shafki Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir did not permit it to do so. Because remember, this is illegal. It's according to the first opinion in the Braisa. At Lamaisi, you could sell off, according to the first opinion, you could sell off Avadim and buy land, but you can't sell off land to buy Avadim. So Rabbi Meir stopped him. Most of it is amazing. That night, Rabbi Meir had a dream. And what did it say in the dream? Ani laharos va'ata livnos. So in the dream, there was a voice from the heavens that said to him, I am trying to destroy, and you are trying to build. So we'll say, so what happened over here seemed to be that HaKadosh Baruch was communicating with Rabbi Meir, telling him that, look, the father of these Yisomim gained this money illegally. And therefore, again, I put in the mind of the apotropos to sell off this property in order that to divest the estate of the ill-gotten gains. And therefore, again, Rabbi Meir, I'm trying to go ahead and get rid of the illegally gained money, and you're trying to help them. In other words, I want him to do this, and you're trying to prevent it. And this is what I'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Meir paid absolutely no attention to the dream. Why? Amar divrei chalomos lo ma'alin v'lo moridin. This is a great line. Dreams mean nothing. In other words, Rabbi Meir was saying, look, at the end of the day, I will say, Rabbi Meir says, I'm not going to rely. Maybe it was God with me. It was not God with me. It was an angel. Whatever it is. There's right and there's wrong. And in this world, we just have to operate ultimately again on what we see in front of our eyes. If we see something wrong that's occurring, we need to step in, and we can't worry about dreams. Hano Beitrei. There were two people. The Igri Bahu Satan. The Chobe Shimshi Havu Kamenatsi Bahadi Adadi Minatsu Bahadi Adadi. So this is actually interesting. There were two individuals who the Satan used to instigate them every Erev Shabbos. I'm going to say now what happened over here. Rashi says the Chobe Shimshi Shalav Shabbos. These two guys used to get into it for whatever reason every Erev Shabbos. We're going to fight every Erev Shabbos. Ikla Rabbi Meir LaHasam. So Rabbi Meir came to this town. They came to him, they asked him to help resolve this machlokas. Akavinu tlasa beshimshi ad the avad lahu shalma. So we'll say, so what happened? He separated them for three consecutive Erev Shabbosos so that they weren't able to fight. A chazaka. He created a chazaka that they were no longer enemies and they made shalom with each other. So as I listen to this. So after that, Shamei dika'amar vai da'afkir yimer lahu government beisei. After this happened and these two guys made shalom, Rabbi Meir heard a voice that said, oi to oi, about Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Meir kicked this guy out of the home. This guy refers to the Satan. The Satan was lamenting that Rabbi Meir expunged him from this situation. So what's the common denominator between these stories is, Rabbi Meir heard a lot of stuff, right, and saw a lot of stuff. And Rabbi Meir didn't pay attention to dreams. Rabbi Meir didn't pay attention to voices of Satan. Rabbi Meir just simply did what was correct in life. Hu apotropos, dehavi b'shavusei Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Well, so there was an apotropos who lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Dehava kamizabein ara v'zavim turei. He was going ahead and selling off land and purchasing cows. V'lo amar lei v'lo midi. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi did not object to the practices of the apotropis. Now, I will say, this seems to be objectionable, right? Because at the end of the day, again, we said that you can't sell off land, but yet he was selling off land purchasing cattle. Because Rabbi Shimon Levi went ahead and held it, Rabbi Yossi. The Asanya, I'm Rabbi Yossi. Miyamai, lo karisi li ishti ishti, ule shori shori. So Rabbi Yossi said, I never called my wife my wife, and I never called my ox my ox. Rather, ella li ishti besi, Ulshori sadi. Rather, I called my wife my house and my ox my field. Now, you have to be very careful the way you use this line. Right? If you call, right? He didn't call his wife a house, because if you call your wife a house, you'll be in very big trouble. Called his wife my house. Now, the idea over here was, Delikidrashi, the Ishti Besi, Shekol Tzarche Habayis, Al Yodon Asim, Vihi Ikra Habayis. So we'll say, again, we know that in every solid marriage, so ultimately, again, the wife is the home. Without the wife, there is no home, right? The wife is the Akeras Habayis. Rabbi Yossi says, I always called my wife my home. Also, we'll say it's an incredible yisod that hopefully in a strong and loving marriage, wherever one's spouse is, that's where home is. That ultimately, again, I'm not really attached to any particular geographic realities, but wherever my marriage is, wherever my wife is, that's where my home is. So the idea, Rabbi Yossi says, I always call my wife my home, and my shor, my field. My ox is my field. Why? I will say, what's the logic behind that? Because without my ox, there's no field. Right? Without the ox to plow the field, without the ox to work the field itself can't really produce anything. Therefore, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi apparently felt that for the apotropis to sell off land in order to go ahead and purchase a field was a justifiable sale, and therefore did not object to it. But say, there happens to be a beautiful, beautiful Gemara. I mean, not the sharp part, but the lo karasi li ishti ishti el li ishti besi. It's a beautiful, beautiful yisod. Hano yasmi. So we'll say there was a group of Yisomim who were reliant on a particular Safta, were reliant on a particular elderly woman. Meaning, in other words, this elderly woman wasn't the official apotropis. She wasn't the official executor of their estate, but she took care of these Yisomim. Havu lehu turta. So these Yisomim had a cow. Shakla vizavinta nihilayu. And the Safta, this elderly woman, sold off the cow of the Yisomim, presumably to go ahead and take care of the Yisomim. Asu krovim lekamei d'Rav Nachman. So the relatives of the Yisomim came to Rav Nachman. Amrulei, my avidita dizapna. Why did this Safta, why did this old woman have the right to sell off the cow? She's not the apotropis. Amrlo, Rav Nachman said, Yisomim Shasamchu Eitza Balabais Tnan. Rav Nachman said, no, even though she's not the official apotropis, but she fits into the category described in the Mishnah as what? As a person upon whom the Yisomim rely on. Because remember, again, the Mishnah made this provision, that if you have someone whom the Yisomim relies on like an apotropis, the individual essentially operates like an apotropis. But then these individuals said there's another problem, which is what? The price of the cow, the value of the cow appreciated. So what they were upset about is not only did she go out and sell it, but what? She didn't get top dollar because now the cow is worth more money. To which Rabbi Nachman responded, Birshusa Dolokeach Yaker. So Rabbi Nachman said, yeah, it appreciated, but it appreciated after she sold it. So the appreciation is ultimately owned by the purchaser. I vaholon akiti dummy. But one second, the Yisomim should be entitled ultimately to the appreciation. Why? Because money did not yet change hands. So therefore, because money did not yet change hands, really the cow still belongs to the Yisomim. And therefore, again, they should be entitled to collect more money. Amar lehu, to which Rav Nachman responded, oh, im kein hainu drav chani loy. Baridi, if that's the case, then indeed you are correct. Like the statement of Rav Chani Loi. Rav Chani Loi Baridi, Amar Shmuel, michsi Yisomim harihen kehekdish. Well, so this is very important. Property of Yisomim is just like hekdish, just like consecrated property. Velo mikni ela bekaspa. And is only acquired with money. I will say now just a word about this because this is exceptionally important. The halacha is, under normal circumstances, the way you acquire movable property is how? through Mashiach. In other words, we'll say, so for example, if I am buying your ox, I'm buying it for $1,000, I'm buying Reuven's ox, so as soon as I do Mashiach, as soon as I pull that ox towards me, I have acquired it, even though money has not yet exchanged hands. I acquire it as soon as I'm Moshech. The exception to that rule is Hekdesh. When it comes to Hekdesh, Hekdesh only acquires something when what? When money exchanges hands. Rav Chaniloi suggests that the property of Yisomim is treated like Hekdesh, and therefore what? The transaction only takes effect when money is actually exchanged. Now, why is that important over here? Let's take this case for example. The Safta, the old woman, sold the cow of the Yisomim. She sold it. The seller was more. And let's say she sold it for $1,000. The buyer did Mashiach. And then what happens? The cow market goes crazy, Baruch Hashem, and the cow is now worth $1,500. We'll say, what's the halacha? The Yisomim now have the ability to collect another $500 for the sale of the cow. Aye, but the buyer already did Mashiach. No, when it comes to the property of Yisomim, the property of Yisomim is treated like Hekdesh, and therefore no transaction is final until money has actually changed hands, and therefore they have the ability to collect and collect even more money for the transaction. Oh, so we're going to see that. We're going to see, in fact, what's really going to happen over here is that Yisomim always get the best end of the deal. So when it's good for them to not have the transaction sealed except through money, we give it that. But if Mashiach is beneficial for them, like in the case of depreciation, we'll see the transaction stands like that. We'll see in just a moment. Chamei d'Ravna Ukva. Chamei d'Ravna Ukva Yasma. Mashchua ba'arba arba. So we'll say the wine. Ravna Ukva, the orphan, was selling off wine. And what happened? So the purchasers did Mashiach when a barrel of wine was selling for 4 zuz. V'iyaker, then wine appreciated. V'kam b'shisa shisa. And then you were able to sell it for what? 6 zuz a barrel. So I'll say, so what's the halacha in this case? Also, the coming drav nachmin. So amr lehu, haynu drav chanilai bar idi. The amr of chanilai bar idi, amr shmuel. Nichse yisomim hari hein kegdish v'lo mikni ele bakaspa. So we'll say, so what happens? So in this case over here, Rav Me'ukva was selling off the wine at four zuz a barrel. The purchaser took possession of the wine, did Mashiach. Then wine appreciated at 6 zuz a barrel. Rav Nachman said, we paskin like Rav Chaniloi, and therefore what? And therefore again, the transaction is not complete until when? Until money actually exchanges hands, and therefore Rav Me'ukva is entitled to 6 zuz a barrel. Says the Gemara, Mashach Peri Miyasmi. So listen to this. So again, let's say Yisomim are selling off produce. The buyer did Mashiach, took possession, but did not yet give money. And then what? And then the value of the fruit appreciated. So then there says the Gemara, this is Rav Chanilai Bar Idi. And therefore again, the Yisomim are entitled to what? To more money. What happens, Zol? What happens if the produce depreciates? So what happens if the Yisomim are selling produce at 4 zuz? And then what happens? The buyer does Mashiach, but didn't yet pay the money. And then the price depreciates to 3 zuz. What happens? In that case, lo yehei koach hedyot chomer mehegdish. In that case, then the power of hedyot should not be any more chomer than the power of hegdish. Which means, that if Mashiach works for a hegyot, for a regular transaction, then Mashiach should work for hektish as well. Which is another way of saying that whichever way benefits the Yisomim, we always do it like that. So for example, if it I'm sorry, the house doesn't lose, right? So it's lahavdul elif alfei rivei avdolos, right? Not that I know what that means, but the idea, the wife, Yishuv based, good. So you understand, of course, thank you, Ari. So you understand, of course, that what this is saying is like this. So we'll say, essentially, what the Gemara is saying is the following. There are two ways in which a transaction is finalized. Under normal circumstances, a regular transaction, as soon as buyer does Mashiach and takes possession of the object, transaction is finalized. By Hekdesh, only exchange of money finalizes the transaction. So that's what the Gemara is saying is, the Yisomim can play it both ways. When property appreciates, when the item being sold appreciates, and it's in the best interest of the Yisomim for the transaction not to be finalized, we say the only thing that finalizes the transaction is what? Exchange of money. When the item being sold depreciates, and it's the best interest for the Yisroelim to have, ultimately, again, the item sold at the higher rate, what do we say? Meshicha finalizes. So whatever works better for the Yisroelim, that's what we do. And above, so you understand, everybody knows this from the outset. Meaning, so this is the risk you take whenever you do business deals with the Yisroelim. Just understand, the Yisroelim, the halacha structures it in a way, it's a lopsided transaction. The Yisroelim will always come out ahead. And this is proactively structured this way for the benefit of the Yisroelim. Says the Gemara, Amshichu lehu peiro liyasmi. If the Yisomim went ahead and did Mashiach on the Peros, so let's say now we'll say, in this case over, the Yisomim are purchasers now. So let's say the Yisomim are the ones who are purchasing, and they did Mashiach, but have not yet paid the money. So Iyaker, if the price appreciates, so we'll say, so then again, what do we say? Lo Yehekar Chedyot Charme Hekdish. A regular transaction should not be any stronger than Hekdish, and therefore, what we'll say, we say, that once they've gone, therefore again, Mashiach does not finalize the transaction, it's only transfer of money that finalizes the transaction. Zol, if the price depreciates, we'll say, in that case again, remember, we want the Mashiach to lock in the lower price. Zol, if the price goes down, Sabra Mine Hanidrat Chani Lai Bar Idi. We'll say, if the price goes down, then we say, what, even though the Yisomim did Mashiach, the transaction is not yet complete until when? Until the transfer of funds. Amr Shishrei Davidi Harayi. Well, so you should just know. Shishrei Davidi says, by the way, just you should be aware. You think you're doing all of these things to preserve the interests of the Yisomim. I just want to tell you that you should. Sometimes this could adversely impact them. How so? The Zimnin Dimitzarchi Leperi Veleka Diyoev Luhu Ad Diyoev Izuze. So you should just know that sometimes this could adversely impact them, because there may be times where the Yisomim want to go ahead and purchase produce, and no one will sell them anything unless what? They're ready to give the cash. Because here's one thing that's clear, which is that once you've given the cash, ultimately, again, the transaction is final. So just so you understand, people may be very reticent to give anything to the Yisomim on credit, because understand they stand to lose from that. So just that's the downside of this.
How long do they remain the Yisomim?
Until they grow up. No, until they grow up, until they become Gedolim.
It's only for minors.
Correct. So the Gemara says, I just lost my train of thought here. Yeah, okay, so Yavi Yasmi Zuze. So we'll say, if ultimately the Yisomim give money, Yavi Yasmi Zuzi Aperi, if the Yisomim paid money for the peros, Zol, if the produce depreciates, Lo Yei Koach Chedyot Chomer Min HaHekdesh. So we'll say again, so in this case, the Yisomim paid for the produce, and then it goes down in price. So we'll say, if that's the case, the Koach of Hedyot should not go ahead and be any stronger than Hekdish, and therefore the Yisroelim have the ability to go ahead and negate the sale. In other words, both said, because they did not yet do Mashiach, therefore they have the ability to go ahead and renegotiate the terms of the transaction. Ayaker, if halacha lemaisa, again, the price goes up, savar mine, hainidrat chani loy. They will say, so these are all applications of the same idea. In other words, the Yisroelim are always going to get the best end of the deal. And again, that will depend. So sometimes we'll want the money to seal the transaction. Sometimes we'll want the Mashiach to seal the transaction. Amlu Rishisha Rei Dravidi Harahi. Just understand that sometimes this could adversely impact them. How? Harele Dido, I will say Amud Beis. The Asu Lameima Lahu Nisrafu Chitechem Ba'aliya. So just understand the negative impact of this. As I will say, you know, we will see this actually later on in Baba Metziah. I will say, you should know, the Gemara says that Midaraisa Ma'os Konos. Midaraisa, when you pay money for Metaltolin, that really affects the transaction. But there's a general concern that's what? That we don't like money to affect the completion of a transaction for one simple reason. That if I buy produce from Reuven, and then what happens, and I didn't take physical possession of it, and then there's a fire in his silo, and some of his produce gets destroyed, what is he going to say to me? Oh, Silber, bad news. That was your produce. That's Gezeres Shem Yomar Nisrafu Chitech Abaliya. That's why when it comes to movable property in general, we say, I don't own it until I take possession of it. So just understand the downside of saying that money can affect the final transaction for the Yisomim is that it exposes them. The exposure is what? That if indeed money does give them title, but the produce is still in the possession of the seller, that if something happens to that produce while it's in the possession of the seller may have the ability to come back to the Yisomim and say, I'm so sorry, but there was a fire and your produce was destroyed. So all the Gemara is trying to say, show, is to understand. We understand what the intention is. The intention is to protect the interest of the Yisomim. Just understand the downside is that there is some level of exposure. Either that people will be more reticent to sell anything to the Yisomim with credit, and B, it could be that if they actually have title to items while still in the possession of the seller, if something happens to that property, ultimately the seller may claim that it was the buyer's property that was destroyed. Yoav Lehu, second line of us said Amad Beis. Yoav Lehu Zuzi Liyasmi Aperi. So we'll say, this is now a case of purchasing. Someone is purchasing produce from the Yisomim and they gave them money. So Iyaker, if the produce went up in value, if that's the case, then just like by regular transactions, the transaction is not binding. It's not sealed until there's Mashiach. So to over here, it's not sealed until there's Mashiach either. And the Yisomim could renegotiate at a higher price. Zol, if the produce, however, depreciates. Then Rabbi said, that'll be like Chani Loi Bar Idi, namely what? Namely that the transaction is not final until when? Until money is given. And therefore, if even though it depreciates, the higher price is locked in at the time that the money was given. So, Amar Lohu Rav Shishrei Dravidi Haroihi. Just understand this can have a negative impact. Haroihi Lidido Dizim Dimizdarchi Lezuze. For Leka Diyoyev Lohu Adiyoyev Lohu Peri. So I'll say sometimes again. Just understand that the Yisomim may need cash, and no one will want to pay them up front until ultimately they're ready to give the produce. Okay. Amr of Ashi. So Aloch L'maisa, what comes out from this statement is, first of all, this idea of Rav Chani Loi. And Rav Chani Loi's idea is that L'maisa, that the transactions of Yisomim are treated like transactions of Hekdish. And just like transactions of Hekdish are only sealed, are only done when there's an exchange of money, so too transactions are only done when the money is given. But that's only when what? That's only when that's beneficial for the Yisomim. But when it's beneficial that the transaction be signed and sealed with Mashiach, then Lamaise again will do that as well. And all the Gemara is pointing out is that although we're trying to structure all of these transactions as beneficial for the Yisomim, just understand that there is some potential level of downside. Fine. So Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Kahana, Chasminan Ashtar Di'imei Dezi'ira Yasma, De'mezabni Ara Lekarga Belo Achrazda. So I'll say, so says Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, me and Rav Kahana and I, we signed on a document of sale for the mother of Zi'ira the Yasma, Zi'ira the Yasum, who was selling off land to pay head tax. Karga is a head tax. Below Achrasta, without announcing the sale. Now, I'll say, the halacha normally is, we'll see, that you're supposed to go ahead whenever you sell property, especially, now, again, you can do whatever you want with your own property. When you sell a property of the Yisomim, you're supposed to go ahead and leave that land on the market for at least 30 days. What's the idea? The idea is you want to be able to attract the most attractive bid. But she sold off this property without announcing it for 30 days. But she acted legally because the Nardoim said, Lekarga, Lemizone, Lekvura, Mizabnina below Achrasta. Even though normally, again, when dealing with matters of the estate of the Yisomim, you have to announce the sale for 30 days so as to attract the best price. When it comes to payment for the head tax, mizonos, burial needs, you're permitted to sell off land even without prior announcement. Amram Tzavo Apotropa Diasmihaya. So listen to this. So Amram Tzavo, that was his name. Amram Tzavo, he was an apotropos of the Yisomim. Asu Krovim Lakamed Rav Nachman, Amrle, Kalavish Umechse Miyasmi. So we'll say, so listen to this. So the relatives of the Yisomim came to Rav Nachman, and said, Rav Nachman, it's not right. Amram is buying his wardrobe from the estate of the Yisomim, and he's buying expensive clothing. He's wearing from the estate of the Yisomim. Amram Rav Nachman said he's permitted to do so. Why? Ki hechi de l'shtamun mili. Well, say, listen to this. It's actually very interesting. Avram is permitted to do so. Why? Because we also remember again, he needs to go ahead and represent the Yisumim in the marketplace, in the business place, and therefore he's got to look good in order that he's got to have business attire in order that people will take him seriously. I'm sorry. The assumption normally is, and our default assumption is, that Apotropis is not receiving any money for his services. That's the default. You can get paid as an Apotropis, but the assumption is you're not. So the relative, so Rav Nachman said it's okay. He is permitted to take expenses for his wardrobe from the estate. They said, Rav Nachman, ka'achal v'shasa medido v'lo amid. He's eating and drinking very well, way above his means. V'lo amid means, we know how much money he makes, however they know that, and we know that he's eating and drinking beyond his means, which means that he is taking money from the estate to support his lifestyle. Amar, Mitzia Ashkach, so Rav Nachman says, I don't understand how you know that. How do you know he's paying that from the estate? Maybe he found money. Like maybe he found a diamond, maybe he found some. You're making an accusation based on circumstantial evidence that you, first of all, you think you know how much money he has, and therefore you assume that he's eating and drinking beyond his means, and you're making the assumption that he's taking money from the estate. Maybe not. Maybe he has a rich uncle. Maybe he found the mitzia. I v'hakam mafsid. So hakam mafsid of both sides means that now the relative said he is rukit rashi. Hakam mafsid nichseyus umsheinu mifarni sekakos kroilam mikotzis ilanos. He's being negligent with how he cares for the estate. He's not taking care of the property. So says Rav Nachman, okay, if that's the case, Amar lahu, Aisi Sahadi de Mafsid Va'as L'Kinei. You know what? Bring witnesses that he is not taking care of the estate, and I will indeed go ahead and remove him from his post. Amar Rav Huna Chavri Mishmei Drav Apotropis de Mafsid Misalkin Alei. And Lachinam, I will say, if we see that an Apotropis is not taking care of the estate, we will remove him from his position. De Itmar Apotropa de Mafsid. The Bible says if you have an apotropos, now Bible says this is very interesting. The lashon of mafsid means he's actively causing a loss. The Ritva understands this. That's not what it means. What it means over here is if you have an apotropos who's just not very vigilant. He's not actively destroying anything. He's not actively destroying the land. He's not really on top of his game. He's not. I'm sorry. Negligent. It's not even negligent. It's just that. What's the right word?
Doing everything
subpar. He's apathetic. He's apathetic. Sorry, he's just not doing everything that really he should be doing. So he's not, we wouldn't call it negligence. He's not destroying. He's just a shnickel apathetic. So he's not doing what he needs to be doing. So what's the halacha? Rafuna Amar Mesalkinale. Rafuna says we remove him from the position. Rabbi Shila Amar Lo Mesalkinale. Usually Rabbi Shila says that we don't remove him. In other words, that as long as he's not actively negligent or deleterious to the estate, we'll leave him there. But the halacha Rabbi said, Hilchasa, with this will stop Hilchasa Mesalkinale. The halacha is Rabbi said, the one thing is the following. Remember, as much as we said that we need the apotropos to be conservative, you know, we don't want him. We don't want him mapping out aggressive financial strategies. What we do want him is what? We do want him actively taking care of the estate. And therefore, if he's not actively taking care of it, the maisa we will remove him from the position. We'll say we'll pick up over here tomorrow, Mirzasha. We'll probably start a few minutes. Right? So just come at 5:45 and we'll play it by ear.